Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl goes shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Let me check my schedule while we talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to the Fantasy Pros Fantasy Football Podcast. It's me, Joey P, Joe P. Zapia. That's Kyle Yates, and that's Mike Tagliere. And we're having our hot takes, our reactions, our fervent feelings about the NFL schedule that just officially dropped last night. And we're going to break it all down from a fantasy perspective and also from a football perspective, because at our core, we are football fans. It's going to be fun to kind of talk about some of these matchups. But of course, we know you're here for the fantasy. We're going to give that to you today. And also, we've got a fun surprise, because although Tags is under the weather today, he is soldiering through. He's a tough guy. He's day to day, but he's here anyway. Tags, I've got something that's going to make you very happy. And for those of you who are just listening to the podcast, I want you to go right now, pause it, and go to YouTube for Fantasy Pros, because we finally got the reveal. Yates, go ahead. Show everybody what you got. Oh, it's the corn shirt. There it is, right over his heart. Which is, you know, probably the heart and soul of this show is obviously Yates. So Tags, does that make you feel a little bit better today that he's wearing the corn shirt?
Yes and no, because he went like he half butted it, if I could say that, where he has a flannel on that's covering, and all I see is the R in the N, where it's like, you know, represent corn, man. Like if I wore overalls and I had a hoodie over it, would it count?
I know you would still be wearing the hat. I think that's pretty obvious. Like, do you
shower
in it?
By definition, yeah. They wouldn't be overalls then, because they wouldn't be over all of your clothing.
Oh, Lord. You know what? Oh, wow. Now that you have a second kid on the way, your dad joke game is getting stronger. I don't know if you realize that. It's finally happening. Plus, also, Yates said that it only came in a small, which I think is even more the reason why you got to rock it and wear it. It's skin tight. Ratings go way
show
up.
Show the pipes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, where's the guns? I mean, come on.
We've got Magic Mike and then me with a super small shirt. The show's going off the rails.
I don't know. Or getting really good really quickly. Depends on how you look at it. Well, we are now officially in the NFL season, and it's uncharted territories. Because look, now we're talking about a 17 game, 18 week schedule. So it's a very different game out there, and that's going to have an effect and a ripple effect, not only in the way players are used, but also I think organizations, the way they look at themselves, it's going to have a whole different landscape of the NFL. And it is only one game, and some people might kind of thumb their nose at it and say, oh, it's one game, who cares? It really does make a huge difference. And watching the schedule process and the back end of that last night was fascinating. They were showing you how they use the software to manipulate the schedules and all the different variations, and how just adding one more week of games can change everything in just a million different combinations of stuff. And they even showed the old school of the old guy that used to sit there and do this. I was telling Yates before the show, he would sit there eating pistachios, and the guy had a big belly and he used to have the pistachio shells. And then like every like 30 minutes, he would just brush off the shells and get up to the board and start moving the tags of the team names, not you tags. We would always keep you. We would never move you. We would move you around. And it was just such a fascinating process to see the evolution and what it is now, and how, you know, certain teams get certain games, certain weeks, managing the travel schedule, the London schedule, the bye weeks, all this stuff. It's very cool, and we're going to talk about it today. And before we do, I want to remind everybody, we got a giveaway for you. Calvin Ridley autographed jersey, thanks to our friends at pristineauction.com. If you go over and leave a review of the show on Apple Podcasts or CastBox, you can get involved in this. And once you fill this out here at fantasypros.com/contest, you are entered automatically to win after this every single time. So this month, it's Calvin Ridley in the month of May. So again, go to Apple Podcast, CastBox, drop your review, go to fantasypros.com/contest, fill out the form, upload your review. Next thing you know, you are entered to win Calvin Ridley autographed jersey. That's a good one, too. It's really good stuff we're giving away thanks to Pristine Auction. So let's start with the fantasy takeaways, which is why everybody's here. And Tags, if you are still alive here to start this, we're gonna try to soldier through. Hopefully the Dayquil has now kicked in with the NyQuil and has made a nice, perfect kind of balance to not only keep you well enough to do the show today, but also give us some good analysis. So when you're looking at the quarterbacks, let's start there. What pops out to you in terms of the schedule, some of the quarterbacks that might have it easier, rougher, or might have some opportunity here?
Well, the first thing I wanted to look at when the schedule did come out was the bye weeks. And I wanted to see about someone like Mac Jones. We've talked about that.
First
about
thing the I difference, look forward to.
The difference in the Patriots, you know, under Cam Newton and Mac Jones, it's a completely different offense. They have to decide when they're going to make that transition. If they're going to start with Mac Jones, they're going to start with Cam Newton because their bye week is in week 14. So basically, you're doing it on the fly, or you're doing it at the beginning of the season, because it's not going to be week 14 where they're going to swap everything over. Trey Lance and the 49ers, if they want Garoppolo to be under center for the first 5 weeks, they have a week 6 bye, which would make some sense considering what they've talked about is bringing Trey Lance along. Do I think they wait until then? I don't know. I could see him starting right out of the gate. And then you look at someone like Justin Fields, a week 10 bye with the Bears. The Bears, I don't know if they start in week 1 going at LA on primetime doesn't seem like a great spot to do well in your NFL debut. So maybe they wait until week 2 to bring Justin Fields on the field. I don't know. We'll see. But looking it over, I mean, Tom Brady, right out of the gate, he's someone that he's going to start at home versus Dallas. I mean, Dallas, they did not select a cornerback in the first round. Everybody knows that. Atlanta in week 2. And then going back to New England in week 4. I mean, I know New England's a good defense and all that, but I mean, Brady going back there, he's not going to let you down that week. So you're talking 3 of the first 4 games for Tom Brady. It's really a great schedule for him right out of the gate.
I saw a stat yesterday too, that the Bucks have the biggest return year over year of any Super Bowl team in the modern day era of the NFL in terms of players coming back. And we all know continuity is so important. And the ironic part is last year they were a team that was assembled like the Avengers out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So the fact that they were able to come together, win a Super Bowl, and now they're all coming back is really stunning. And you're right, that schedule certainly does lay itself out. Not to mention Brady actually has a chance in that game to break the all-time passing record. If he stays on his average, yeah, just see that. If he stays on his average from last year, which is somewhere around 288, that's about the number 4 games into the season that he would be at. Could you imagine stopping the game in New England for that moment? That would, you know, it's on his mind. Anybody who thinks it's not is crazy.
Right.
Yates, when you looked at the quarterbacks, what did you see when you looked at the schedule by comparison?
Well, all my notes have been gone through already because Tags literally took everything. I literally looked at the exact same. I sat down and I was like, okay, well, with the rookie quarterbacks, we know that Trevor Lawrence is starting from week 1. They have no competition on that roster. Same with Zach Wilson, right, in New York with the Jets. So I went and looked at, you know, Justin Fields and Trey Lance and Mac Jones and came away with the same thing. Immediately went right to New England, was like, when's their bye week? Because we talked about, just like Tag said, we talked about it where it's like, how are you going to switch this offense over? And I've kind of said this already, but I think a healthy Cam Newton, Mac Jones is not beating out a healthy Cam Newton in training camp. Like, he's just not. So it's when the concern is when Cam Newton starts to break down, if he starts to break down, then when do you make that switch? So I think the bye week was a natural transition for that to happen. With that being pushed all the way to week 14, that's just crazy. I don't think that we're going to see a ton of Mac Jones here. The other things with Trey Lance and Justin Fields that I'll add, I think that we're going to see Trey Lance starting by week 11. With San Francisco, they go with Indianapolis after their bye week, Chicago, Arizona, the Rams. Those are some pretty solid defenses. And then week 11 is Jacksonville, Minnesota, Seattle, Cincinnati, Atlanta, Tennessee, Houston. So after that, I think you could easily see them turn that over and say Trey Lance is in now after that point, because we've got a pretty solid transition for him here. And then Justin Fields, I think, starting by week 12, because I think you look at Chicago's schedule and they have some pretty easy wins that they can get out of the gate. It is a tough schedule, but once you get to that point around week 12, you're looking at Detroit there, Arizona, Green Bay, Minnesota, Seattle. Like those are some defenses that you can turn it over to Justin Fields. The only other one that I'll mention was Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford coming into LA, we kind of had some of these high hopes for, right? He's with Sean McVay. He's got some weapons. Like, this is going to be great. But guys, I'm not drafting him. Like, he's falling into this territory of a streaming quarterback. And you look at his initial start to the season, it's Chicago, Indianapolis, Tampa Bay, and Arizona to start. Like, maybe Arizona. But if he's a streaming quarterback and he's got three really tough matchups right out of the gate, I'll let someone else draft him. I'll let someone else get frustrated with him those first 3 weeks, drop him, and then I'll pick him up. Because after that, I mean, just to have that expectation that you're going to get a really, really sky-high ceiling with Matthew Stafford right out of the gate, I don't know if it's there.
That's a really good point, actually, you're making there, because he is right on that bubble of QB1, QB2, certainly. And I will say this also, I'm going to ask you this question, guys. What's the percentage that Justin Fields, in your mind, does open up week one? Yates, I want to start with you on this one. Give a percentage on it, because I don't think it's an impossibility, really.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I would say probably around like 30% is probably reaction is, like, where they're committed to Andy Dalton starting this season. Now, it's going to take Justin Fields showing out in training camp and clearly being the better quarterback, which I think he absolutely can, which is why I'm giving it a 30% chance. But I think that they're going to roll with Andy Dalton for at least the first part of the season. If the wheels fall off, then they'll turn to Justin Fields.
I was in those 30s tags. Are you there or are you higher or lower?
I'd be higher. I'd say it's 50-50. I know they talk about Andy Dalton being the starter and that, but I mean, the Bears are just, they're in a weird spot. They can't afford to not take chances, especially right now with Nagy on the hot seat, Ryan Pace in the hot seat. It's like, this is a conversation they actually have to have. And if Justin Fields goes to camp and looks fantastic, there's no way they're going to keep him on the bench. There's no way you can do that. If they go to the camp and they're like, all right, this kid needs some work, there's things we have to work on with them, of course they're going to start Andy Dalton because it's the safer play for them. But again, I think it all comes down to how he looks in camp. So I'm going to put it at 50-50 right now. I would say that the favorite is probably Dalton slightly. So maybe I should say 49%. But I do believe that if he shows out in training camp and actually shows that he's ready to play, I think they're going to put him on the field right away.
All right, let's start with the running backs this time with Yates, so that way Tags doesn't steal all of his good analysis. So what running backs benefit, in your opinion, from this schedule?
Benefit? I think Najee Harris, right? Like, we talk about Najee Harris to begin the season, and we knew that he was going to get a significant workload. He's got the draft capital. So as far as a player who benefits, Buffalo right out of the gate, which is a solid run defense, but it's not a matchup that I'm scared of with him getting a ton of work. And then Las Vegas, Cincinnati, and Green Bay all to start that that 4-week stretch there. So the schedule gets a little bit tougher after that, but he can get off to a really, really hot start. So otherwise, you know, I'm looking primarily at the beginning of the season to see which of these guys can get off to a hot start right now. Because if we start to look at the playoffs already, we're kind of doing ourselves a disservice, because it so much changes throughout the NFL season. Mm-hmm. But there are a couple of matchups that I'm going, like, I know that these teams are going to be terrible week one, and I know that they're going to be terrible week 16, week 17, and that's Houston and Detroit as far as run defenses specifically. So even though Detroit has made a lot of solid upgrades, they're still far away from being a matchup that I'm scared away from for fantasy purposes. So specifically with Houston, the Chargers running backs, Austin Ekeler and whoever that secondary option is, maybe it's Larry Roundtree, Houston in week 16 for the playoffs. And then the 49ers running backs, if that's Trey Sermon, Elijah Mitchell, whatever that looks like, get Houston in week 17. So with that playoff schedule being pushed back a little bit, those are two matchups that I'm kind of circling, saying, like, the Chargers, the 49ers, I'm not changing my draft strategy, right? I'm not going in and, you know, setting a precedent on drafting these two guys, but just circling that and saying, like, these are some pretty good matchups in week 16 and 17.
You dogged out my boy Jeffrey Wilson there. You didn't even mention him. That hurt my feelings deep down.
There are like five or six running backs. I didn't want to go through all in San Francisco.
No, I understand. I'm kidding you. But I mean, you know, we'll get to the strength of schedule, and I'm going to use the air quotes there when I talk about that, because we all know a couple injuries and that goes out the window, and it's just such a dangerous thing to really get hung up on. We will touch on it because we do our due diligence here, but I think taking that with a healthy grain of salt is always good. But like Yates is saying, it's about the beginnings of the ends and the teams that you know are in full rebuilds, the teams that you know have weaknesses that they can't fix no matter what, and maybe could only get worse. Tags, when you look at the running back position versus the schedule, what kind of comes to your mind?
Yeah, so Najee Harris was definitely like my clear-cut number one winner when you look at his early season schedule. And that's really, when it comes to strength of schedule, all I really want to look at is the first 5 weeks, maybe, 5-6 weeks. Because right. Again, strength of schedule beyond that gets a little tricky because teams obviously change as the year goes on. Coaching staffs, player upgrades, we really don't know beyond the first couple weeks. And then on top of that, your roster might not look the same. You know, just because you drafted a player in fantasy football doesn't mean you're going to have him on your roster for the fantasy playoffs. You know, my roster, I know when I was really active in fantasy football, when it wasn't my job and it's like all I focused on was like, I would draft 17 players. And I think by the end of the year, I had 4 players from my original team on there because I was always dealing. But David Montgomery is someone who pops off the list to me. Now he starts at the Rams. That's going to be a tough one. But after that, he's going to play versus Cincinnati. At Cleveland versus Denver or versus Detroit at Las Vegas and then versus Green Bay. Like, I'm not scared of any of those matchups. I know Cleveland is someone that is a team that's getting better, but they haven't been dominant against the run. The linebacking position has been lacking. They did lose Larry Ogunjobi this offseason. They released Sheldon Richardson. So like they have some changes on the interior of that defensive line as well. So if there's a weakness, it's against the run. I like him. Travis Etienne, the schedule for the Jags is fantastic. Now the question is, do they, you know, get him and do they give him 15 touches right out of the gate? They should. the 49, if you really are the type that wants to look forward to the fantasy playoffs, the 49ers stretch run is amazing. In weeks 14 through 17, they play against the Bengals, the Falcons, the Titans, and the Texans. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. So if you have a clear cut running back, but again, we don't even know who that is right now. Going to the bad side, Zach Moss and Devin Singletary are basically not draftable in my opinion. They were already someone that you didn't want to draft, but maybe they fell far enough to where you're like, oh, I can get them at a value. But you look at them and they play against Pitt, against Miami versus Washington the first 3 weeks. So it's like, you're not going to play them those weeks. Just don't draft them. Let someone else do that. Aaron Jones has a mixed bag at the start of the year. Like, obviously, we already have Aaron Rodgers and the concerns with him not being on the team. If he's not there, this whole entire team gets a major downgrade. And then you look at the schedule for Aaron Jones and you see at New Orleans, at San Francisco, versus the Steelers in 3 of the first 4 weeks. Now, they do have Detroit and Cincinnati mixed in there in weeks 2 and 5, but it's a mixed bag. And the last one I want to say is a bad, like, the strength of schedule, again, as you said, Joe, it's not an end-all, be-all. It's more of like if you're having a tough time deciding between two players, use this to be a tiebreaker. Chris Carson is going to play at Indianapolis, who is just dominant there ever since Frank Reich took over. Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator, been dominant against running backs. Then versus Tennessee, great matchup, not going to deny that. But then back at Minnesota, who's going to be a lot better, at San Francisco, stop running backs, and then versus the Rams. So it's not a great start to the schedule for Chris Carson. They're talking about mixing in Rashad Penny a little bit. So these are players that you might just say, all right, I have this in this tier with other players. Take those other players because their schedule to start the year is going to be a little rough.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm knee deep in doing the RPV for the Black Book for the running backs. And I was waiting for the schedule to come out to just kind of see where things fell. And my big takeaway, too, is the same thing as you guys. Is Najee Harris and ETN possibly. And I already had them pretty high, but I think getting off to a good start for both those guys would go a long way because then they keep those jobs and maintain those. And maybe it doesn't happen the first week or two with ETN, but my goodness, it feels like it really could. If you're going to make that kind of investment in a running back with the draft capital you're using there, I still don't understand how an undrafted free agent, as good as James Robinson was last year, prevents that from happening. I can't wrap my mind around it right now. And I know they're trying to, you know, do the right thing by this guy who really did a good thing for the organization last year and really kind of, you know, gave a fantastic performance there unexpectedly. But at the same time, you got to be realistic too about what the future is, and the future is now for Jacksonville.
Really quick, before we move on from running backs, I wanted to mention a guy that I did not like as far as their schedule.
Sure.
And that's Josh Jacobs. Like, I'm already with Josh Jacobs. I'm already kind of out just based on the downgrade on the offensive line, the addition of Kenyon Drake for as much money as they gave him. But then you look at his start to the season, it's Baltimore, it's Pittsburgh, it's Miami, Indianapolis, Tampa Bay, Denver, Philadelphia. If you want to go past their bye week, they have the Giants, which is a solid run defense. Then you have, I lost it. Where did it go? Kansas City. And then you get to Cincinnati, Dallas. Like, there are some solid matchups there, but that first stretch of the season is absolutely brutal for Josh Jacobs. For someone who I was already kind of out on, if he had like a solid start to the season, I would kind of buy back in, but this is like, I will have zero shares of Josh Jacobs this year.
Well, it's very important, Yates, that you identify the players you don't want to draft. You know, we always talk so much about the guys we want, but the guys, even like Dax was mentioning before with the Buffalo backs too, when you have guys who are already in potential time splits or shares, then you throw bad starts to schedule. You know, you only have so many weeks. I know we've added a week, but there's only so many weeks for you to be good, to be a playoff team, to have a winning record, to get to the playoffs and succeed. Why would you do that to yourself? And if you really do like the player and you know, sometime want to invest, that's what DFS is for. You can go for those matchups later against the Bengals and some other stuff and play a little of those guys in there if you think there's some upside and maybe it gets better or there's clarity. But recognizing right now the stocks that you don't want any part in, I think goes a huge long way in terms of good preparation for the summer when draft season kicks off. In fact, I don't think there's enough time spent on the players. We say, you know what, this is not a good situation, run away. Everybody likes to look for opportunity, but at the same time, like, opportunity is terrific, but let's also talk about the downside and guys that could really kill your team with bad investments. And those ADPs right now do not jive with all the stuff that you guys are talking about, and I'm with you. All right, let's talk about one of our sponsors and talk about your best defense for the unexpected. Are you prepared for the unthinkable if it happens? If a medical emergency arises, Air Medcare Network provides members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. Join today and never pay a dime for your medical flight flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of a medical emergency, so this is a great way to secure financial peace of mind. Memberships cost as little as $85 a year for your entire household. And right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you'll get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. So visit airmednetwork.com/fantasypros. Again, that's airmednetwork.com/fantasypros. And use the offer code FANTASYPROS no matter where you are in the game of life. An Air Medcare Network membership is the protection no one would live without. Now, that being said, what are some of the wide receivers tags that we can't live without because this schedule looks so good for them, at least off the bat?
I mean, the Panthers wide receivers are going to have it made right out of the gate versus the Jets, who really don't have, I don't think they have a starting caliber cornerback on that roster right now. I mean, Bryce Hall is fine, but I'm just saying, I don't like their roster at all. You look at that, and then after that, they go against New Orleans. New Orleans used to be tough, but now, you know, they lose Janoris Jenkins. Marshawn Lattimore had a felony arrest. Like, he might be in trouble with the league. He might be suspended. So all of a sudden, New Orleans is looking like a good matchup. At Houston after that, at Dallas after that, the Panthers wide receivers like DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson should eat to start the year. The Bucks wide receivers have a tremendous start. We talked about Tom Brady. So obviously if Brady's going to have a good time, they're going to have a good time against Dallas and Atlanta in the first 2 weeks. The bad side of things, there's two players that really popped out to me, Kenny Galladay and Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas against Green Bay, J.R. Alexander. Carolina, they just upgraded a cornerback in the draft. Like, that's not the worst matchup, but whatever. But New England after that, Stephon Gilmore. The Giants after that, and James Bradbury. Washington after that. Washington was one of the best against wide receivers last year, and they didn't even, Ronald Darby is not a shutdown cornerback. He's not that guy.
Well, that's all because of the pressure up front. Exactly. When you have that kind of pressure up front, you're giving the guy less time to look downfield. Therefore, the corners become better. It's very chicken and egg.
Oh, for sure. Well, that's the thing. But you still need the cornerback talent, and they've actually replaced him, and they'll be fine. Kenny Galladay versus Denver and Washington the first 2 weeks. Then he gets Atlanta, but then again, New Orleans, Dallas, the Rams. So maybe Kenny Galladay the first 2 weeks, he's almost like, these are the players you want to look at, and you say their matchups, and you say, all right, Daniel Jones, we talked about this last year, Yates. We said that Daniel Jones was someone, do not draft him. Like, absolutely, I don't care how far he falls, do not draft him. He's going to be dropped after the first 4 weeks. I feel like Galladay, he's not going to be dropped, but Galladay is someone that's going to be drafted as a top 24 wide receiver. I believe after the first 2 weeks, you're going to be able to trade for Kenny Galladay as a borderline top 30 wide receiver. I think people are going to lower their expectations for him, and then you're going to get Atlanta, Dallas, you know, in two of the next 3 weeks. So you'll get return on that investment. So Galladay and Michael Thomas are guys that, again, in tiebreakers, I'm just going to move down a little bit.
I love that it's mid-May and we're giving everybody trade targets. This warms my heart. This is the greatest podcast ever. All right, Yates, wide receivers, what's your takeaway from the schedule?
Absolutely. Panthers and the Bucks wide receivers were two that jumped right off the page. And what I'm really, really interested in here is, do the Panthers utilize Terrace Marshall the way that I'm projecting and keep him on the outside? Now, he played in the slot last season at LSU, but with Joe Brady, he was on the outside and with LSU in 2019. And that, granted, you did have Justin Jefferson out of the slot there, but if they keep him on the outside, what does that mean? You have Robbie Anderson on the other side, and then you kick DJ Moore into a full-time slot role. Put that with the schedule, with Sam Darnold, I think DJ Moore, if they do utilize him this way, I just feel like DJ Moore is going to be a target everywhere, no matter the price for me. So Panthers wide receivers there for the same reasons Tags mentioned, and then the Bucks because Cowboys, Atlanta. Looking a little bit further down, or looking right away and then further down, the 49ers with Detroit right out of the gate. The 49ers receivers here, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, they are going to be smash plays in week one. And then you talk about that run there, Tags. I mean, Jacksonville, Minnesota, Seattle, Cincinnati, Atlanta, Tennessee, Houston. Like, that is just a gold mine for fantasy football. So yeah, those were definitely the standouts for me as far as the teams. But I'm particularly looking and watching what Carolina does with Terrace Marshall in the preseason and during training camp, where he aligns, and if they're moving DJ Moore into the slot, because I think he's going to get off to a very, very hot start.
Well, if Moore does go to the slot, we've already know about Tags' analysis about those slot wide receivers and how useful they could be in fantasy. And this is a guy that's, you know, maybe has disappointed people in terms of touchdown productivity, but I don't think as disappointing as a wide receiver. I think he's a fantastic talent. And I absolutely love this week one matchup where Sam Darnold gets to play the Jets in week one. That's great. That's a great storytelling. It's a great job by the NFL putting that kind of game right off the bat. There you go. There's your quarterback of the future and your other quarterback who used to be the future going against each other in the first week of the season. That's fantastic. Good television. That's what I want. I want good television. All right, let's talk about tight ends. Yates, from this schedule, who kind of pops off to you in terms of maybe somebody could have some success against some weaker linebacker cores, or, you know, those third corners that don't cover very well where there's a weakness on the depth chart?
Sure. There were two players that just jumped out when I was doing some initial, like, looking at the schedule, and Kyle Pitts was one of them, where we talk about Kyle Pitts getting the significant draft capital in Atlanta, the number 4 overall pick. But here's my concern is that Kyle Pitts, I think his redraft ADP is going to just get, it's going to escalate to the point where he's going to get to tight end 6, maybe even tight end 5 off the board. And you look at his matchups right out the gate, and it's Philadelphia, which the Eagles have not been a very good defense against tight ends historically, and they didn't really do a ton to upgrade the safety room or the linebacker core, which those guys are the ones that are typically tasked with guarding tight ends, right? So, but then Tampa Bay, they're going to have a scheme in place to make sure that they stop Kyle Pitts. The New York Giants, that I feel like the same thing. Washington. So this is a really, really tough ask for a rookie tight end. Yes, as talented as Kyle Pitts is, to come into the NFL and then get off to a very hot start to justify that high ADP, which I'm already forecasting is going to get out of hand. I just feel like I'm going to have zero shares of Kyle Pitts in redraft leagues because it's going to get to the point where it's too out of control. And then we're going to get to the point where I don't think he's going to, you know, justify and back up that price tag, that investment here to start the season. The other one is Darren Waller. Darren Waller, you look at his schedule, and it's the same thing with Josh Jacobs. I mean, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Miami, the Chargers, Chicago, Denver. These are some really, really tough matchups. Now, Darren Waller, of course, is going to get targeted a ridiculous amount, maybe even more than he has in years past, because the offensive line isn't as good. They're not going to be able to run the ball as effectively, in my opinion. So maybe Darren Waller gets a little bit more of a target bump. But just to again, if he's going as the tight end 3, the tight end 4 off the board, to have that tough of a start to the season, that's just a little bit concerning for me. So just wanted to mention it here, but those were the two that stood out.
You know, what's fascinating about what you just said is there the two things kind of ring true. Number one is it makes me want to value Kelce more, and it also makes me want to wait on tight end and start to take shots on the Irv Smiths of the world, take shots again on Noah Fant potentially, take shots at some other guys maybe later on, let the position come to you, because I'm with you. I think right now Pitts' value is kind of like, yes, that's the talent, that's the draft capital, it makes sense, it's right there, but people are going to start talking about it, and come July, come August, it's going to get overall ADP into a very precarious spot, where he doesn't go from a bonus guy, he goes from a must perform. And that's the thing that happened last year with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, or as I like to call him, Clyde Edwards-Helium. What happened last year when we went into that first round with him and then up into like the top 6, where it felt insane. And I think if it goes in that route, we're all in a dangerous place. For you, Tags, did you see those same things that Yates saw in the schedule, or is there something else that kind of pops to you?
No, a lot of similar thoughts, honestly. Tight ends I don't put too much into, just because tight ends are extremely volatile to begin with, but I agree in the fact that Darren Waller is someone that's been going in like the third round right now. I think that's his ADP in early drafts. That's a little too rich, like when you start thinking about it. So when you think about Mark Andrews and the new competition that he has there in Baltimore with the wide receivers, and it's like, it's for me, it's Kelce, Kittle, or bust. I'm not taking Pitts. Right. I'm not taking Pitts as the fifth tight end off the board in a redraft. That's nuts. Like, if you want to bet that Pitts is an outlier and he's going to finish as a top 12 tight end in year one, that's cool. But do you want to invest the draft equity to say, yes, right, it's going to happen? No, I think it's ridiculous how high Pitts is going. And there are some places, Yates, I don't know if you saw this on Twitter yesterday, some people are turning down offers of Christian McCaffrey in Dynasty for Kyle Pitts.
And
it blows my mind. Like, stop.
Where did this happen?
Tight ends are so difficult to project, and I think you're going to be able to get Kyle Pitts cheaper this time next year than you are this year. Right now, his stock is at an all-time high. And unfortunately, it's going to be that way in redraft. I should say fortunately, because again, the more tight ends that go earlier in drafts that are not Kelce or Kittle or maybe even Waller, it's like, okay, that means more players are going to fall to me in the middle round. So yeah, I don't put too much stock into this, but again, when you factor in the schedule for Waller, I kind of agree with Yates here, where it's just like, you know, you go Kelce or Kittle or bust.
Wow. You know, I feel like Waller, from the volume standpoint, if that holds true, can kind of at least get you medium productivity over those weeks, just because of the volume.
Right.
So I think if you're still looking long term, and who knows, maybe this narrative will take hold. And it's always funny to me which narratives in this draft season take hold. Every single year, there's some that really do and some that don't. And if that one takes hold, like, oh, really tough thing for Waller, maybe you start to see a little suppression in his ADP. And if that happens, he goes from being possibly dangerous early on to possibly a value. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to see how that unfolds. But this Pitts one, there's a few already that you can kind of feel are going to start to make some giant leaps and bounds as we go. And this is the difference between early drafting and late drafting.
And it's nothing to do with Kyle Pitts and his talent level whatsoever. No, right. Like, I think that he is I do think that he is going to have a very good rookie season. But as far as if he is going as the tight end 10 off the board, then that's something where I'm fine pulling the trigger on that, because I do think that he's going to return that value. If it starts to get buoyed to the point where he's tight end 5, tight end 4 off the board, if he's going before Darren Waller, then it's just like,
no,
this
Mark
is
Andrews,
too much.
I've seen him go over Darren, not over Waller, but I've seen him go over Mark Andrews.
Yeah, so I mean, that point, you are placing all your chips in that basket that Kyle Pitts is going to be just a generational talent, an outlier, that he's going to break all records for rookie tight ends coming into the league, right? Like, at that point, just the risk factor is too much for me to invest. So we'll talk more about that. We'll talk more about that as we get into draft season. But again, with this point now, and once we find out what ADP, right? ADP is so crucial to our evaluations, because with Darren Waller specifically, you know, if he ends up, if Joe, you mentioned it, if that narrative takes hold and he starts to fall to the tight end 6, tight end 7, then that's a point where we say, okay, that's worth the investment there, because he is going to see a ridiculous target share. He's not going to bust. He's not going to hurt your team during those first, you know, 7 weeks of the season. Will he give you top tier value then? No, probably not. But he's still going to be perfectly fine at that investment point. Whereas if he's going as a tight end 4, the tight end 3 off the board, then that's just a little bit too much, where we look at the risk factors involved and we say, that's a little bit too much for me, I'm out.
And I know this is a schedule show, so I know I'm going a little off track here, but I really want to have this conversation since we're here talking about Kyle Pitts. If Julio Jones is moved, it's going to change things for me a little bit. Like, I'm absolutely going to raise Pitts up my board. But however, let's just pretend Julio Jones is still there. Okay, Arthur Smith is in town. Arthur Smith ran a very efficient offense in Tennessee. This is not Dirk Cutter's offense. This is not an offense that's going to throw the ball 650 times. Do you guys know how talented Jonnu Smith is? He's very talented. He's an athletic freak in his own right. Okay.
I have no idea how talented Jonnu Smith,
okay, has maxed out under Arthur Smith 66 targets in a season. Jonnu Smith could be lined up as a wide receiver too, guys. Like, I mean, I'm not saying that Kyle Pitts is not more athletic and more talented than Jonnu Smith. He is, but at the same time, 66
Arthur Smith
targets.
Had to be in on this decision, I imagine, too. So, I mean, granted, if they're looking at it and saying, oh, you know, okay, we're going to make this early pick here with Kyle Pitts, then there has to be a plan to get him involved on a higher level threshold potentially than that. But you're making a great point, which is, when Julio's still here, there's definitely suppression possibilities. And you bring up the talent of a guy like Jonnu Smith. If you're getting Jonnu Smith in, I don't know, like the 8th round of a draft, just throwing around, or 9th or 10th, you know, we start to get later into some of these guys, and I love Jonnu, and I think he's going to be great for the Pats. I think that's where the value lies. And if you see these guys going over even the Hockenson's and Mark Andrews, who you think are just still going to be good, or that fantasy league average tight end at the worst, Well, you take that value and you spend your draft capital in other places where, you know, on a weekly basis, those other guys are going to deliver, because it's about winning weeks. It's not about winning overall, like, well, I hope they help me overall in terms of receptions and yardage for the year. No, we're talking about short windows every week where a guy can help you win a week. And that's what you're looking for and what you're going to pay for those guys. And usually they come from quarterback, running back, and wide receiver.
So I wanted to chime in really quick with Tags's point, because I completely agree with you that you look at the offense that I think Arthur Smith wants to run, and there's a ceiling there, especially with Julio in place. Now, there's a couple extra factors here with Tennessee specifically and what Arthur Smith was able to do. One, he had Derrick Henry, so you can just run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Two, that defense, while it wasn't great, it was better than what Atlanta has in place right now. So I think that when you look at now what Arthur Smith has in place in Atlanta, he has Mike Davis, Quadri Allison, and Javion Hawkins. Like, those are his running backs. Sorry, none of those guys are Derrick Henry. They're not shouldering the same type of workload. And then additionally, that defense is not ready yet to support that type of running
game. I fixed it for you. That defense is not ready to play in the NFL.
I'm not going to go that far. Falcons fans, at Mike Taglier, NFL,
hey, on Twitter. The Falcons are like my second favorite team. Well, third now. Third.
Well, they do give you a lot of fantasy points because of that defense.
Yeah, so anyway, I just think that that goes together where I say, like, I don't want to completely just copy and paste what Tennessee did from a personnel perspective, what they did from a rush attempt total last year, and just drop that and paste that onto Atlanta.
And Ryan Tannehill
right
is not the same passer.
He's better than Matt Ryan.
That Matt Ryan.
He's better.
Is necessary. He's better.
I think if Ryan Tannehill played with Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley as long as Matt Ryan has, I think that you would be considering Ryan Tannehill as a top five quarterback in the NFL.
I think Ryan Tannehill is a much better quarterback than he gets credit, especially in fantasy.
I like Matt Ryan as a competent quarterback, but I think Matt Ryan is overrated. And by the way, guys, if you're watching on YouTube, like right above me, you can see the Falcons logo. It's because I have a giant Julio Jones like canvas up there. So,
oh, do you like Julio Jones? I've never heard that before.
Yeah, no, but seriously, well, but really, in reality, I don't think Matt Ryan would be looked at as a top tier quarterback if it was not for Julio Jones. I don't.
Well, if you're interested in getting a huge Julio Jones, maybe you should try Blue Chew. It's a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Stop! I'm trying to do the read. Stop it. What are you doing? You're killing the show. You're a show killer, Text.
Okay.
Blue Chew's tablets combat all forms of ED and can help men gain extra confidence. All joking aside, this is serious stuff. When it's time to perform, Blue Chew is going to be there for you. It's an online prescription service with no doctor's office visits, no awkward conversations, and waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. And the process is simple. You sign up at BlueChew.com. You consult with one of our licensed medical providers. And once you're approved, you'll receive a prescription within days. And the best part is, it's all done online. So if go to BlueChew.com right now for more details and the safety information about Blue Chew. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew for free when you use the promo code FANTASYPROS at checkout and pay just $5 for shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Fantasy Pros is the code, and that's just $5 shipping. You get your first month for free on us, and we want to thank Blue Chew for being a sponsor of our show today. I want to move on and have some fun, some real football talk here before we close things out. I want to start with week one, because obviously we're all looking at the Cowboys-Bucks. Give me in your mind, Tags, the over-under number for this game. Cowboys-Bucks. What's the over-under on this one?
What are they going to set it? Like, my best guess at what they'll set it at?
What's your best guess? Yeah,
I'm going to say that... No, it's higher. It's higher. I'm going to say they're going to set it at 54 and a half.
Wow. I thought 51. I was pushing it. You know, week one, guys are still trying to, like, get up to speed sometimes. Wow. Are you going to go that high, too, there?
Yeah. I said 53 and a half was what I was going to guess.
Okay, wow. You guys are even more bullish than me.
I mean, that's a big DFS game. Everybody's going to be playing.
Oh, yeah. That's the whole point, though. It's isolated, so it's going to be fun just to iso that game and play it. All right, Jets and Panthers, we talked about that. That's going to be fun. When you're looking at week one, also, you have a few other narratives that you can throw out there, too. And the Dolphins going to the Patriots, too. That's always a fun rivalry that there's been some struggles with back and forth over the years. But you also get the Bears and Rams on Sunday Night Football. Tags is shaking his head. Why are you shaking your head there?
I mean, it's cool. I mean, the Bears are going to be on primetime the first time I'm away from Chicago, but I don't know. Something tells me I'm not going to feel the heartbreak in this one. I just feel like I feel like I understand what's going to happen in that game, and it's not going to be pretty. And that's part of the reason that I don't want Justin Fields to start week one. I don't want him to go against Aaron Donald in that first week with that new offensive line.
And that new building. Don't forget, they didn't get to open the building with
that's
people
right.
last year.
No one's played
and
in that.
And I feel like nobody's really talking about this, and I feel like we should, yeah. that this is their second chance, because they opened last year on Sunday Night Football against Seattle, do I want to say? Or Dallas?
Man,
Dallas.
I can't remember.
Dallas, week one. I'm almost positive it was Dallas, week one. And because I remember seeing CeeDee Lamb out of the gate going, ooh, I'm getting very excited about this. This looks really good. All
little
those
Joey,
draft
calm
stocks
down.
Of CeeDee Lamb. Little Joey, settle down. We'll get the blue chew in you later. All right, so here's the thing. This is a new opportunity, too, where you're talking about Las Vegas with people for the first time. You're going to talk about LA with people in these buildings for the first time. That's going to be a very exciting thing for some of these teams. And we're getting that redo basically for the Rams. Yates, what are your thoughts on this Bears Rams Sunday night fest?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point that the stadium's finally going to be opened up, and that stadium is just beautiful. That it was is. Just so heartbreaking to see that they spent how much money yeah. to build that stadium, and then, you know, COVID hit and no one can be in it.
But Yates, real quick, will there be more Bears fans than LA fans in that stadium?
Quite possibly.
I think it's possible too. I really do.
Quite right. possibly.
If it's
you know,
Fields,
it's...
if it's Fields, 100%. You will see people travel to see that game. I guarantee.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think that, you know, with LA, with them transitioning, obviously, from St. Louis, you've got to take some time to rebuild that local fan base. Yeah. And it's going to take some time. So, but yeah, it's going to be a fun game to watch on Sunday Night Football. I think the Rams are going to win that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be fun to watch.
I think it's also interesting that you got some wrinkles here at the schedule. They're a little different because no doubleheader Monday night for the first time in a very long time. We always
Thank
historically
goodness.
Get that Broncos late night game on Monday night.
Raiders,
to open the
typically.
Season. The Raiders, Broncos, yeah. right? Feels like every year. But we're not going to get that. We're also going to get that weird flex where they're going to take that last, I think it's the last week where they're going to move games to Saturday. There's going to be three games, I think, on the Saturday, and then you're going to have a game flex to Sunday night. So if you're looking, you see everything on Sunday in the last week in 18. That's not the way it's going to look. It's going to flex out differently. But I think overall they've done a pretty good job with some of these primetime schedules. It's also interesting when you start to look at the schedule with or without Aaron Rodgers on the Packers. What gives the Packers have a lot of big time games, and all of a sudden, if Aaron Rodgers isn't there for some reason, and it ends up being Blake Bortles, or it ends up being Jordan Love,
I'm
whatever.
So
it ends
happy!
Up being...
I'm so happy that the Packers signed Blake Bortles. Just it's the narrative is just so fantastic.
Well, yeah, I mean, but just because this is like your friendly reminder from us here at Fantasy Pros that just because right. they signed Blake Bortles does not mean that it means
right.
nothing with Aaron Rodgers. Like Rodgers is not showing up to the training camp or the mini camp, and they only had Jordan Love on the roster. It wouldn't shock me if they signed another quarterback, to be honest with you. They have to do that. So this means nothing in terms of Aaron Rodgers. Do we think Aaron Rodgers is going to show up? I think that he's probably done with the Packers, but I don't think this didn't do anything to move the needle with me.
It is interesting though, like just to highlight, and I agree with you, like let's calm down. Like this does not mean that Aaron Rodgers is completely gone, but it is interesting that they signed a quote unquote veteran presence rather than taking the shot on like one of these undrafted rookies that came in or, you know, a first or second year player. Like they brought in a veteran presence with Blake Bortles to be that like potential mentor for Jordan Love, right? Because if you go with two rookies, two young guys, you have Jordan Love and then you have another second year player or whatever, that just is not a recipe for success. So I just, and granted, Blake Bortles as a veteran mentor is not a recipe for success, but it's just interesting to note.
All right, let's talk about the strength of schedule theoretically. So opponents combined 2020 record. So basically what we're looking at right now is at the top of this board, the Steelers, the opponents for 2020, the win percentage is 574. So that's at the very top, followed by the Ravens, the Bears, the Packers, and the Vikings. And once again, comes to this Packers conversation that if it's a very tough schedule, which again, the NFL basically said, yep, Aaron Rodgers on the Packers, we're going to go ahead and we're going to push forward. And look, they were in the championship game last year. They're going to have these big time games anyway, just because that's how the schedule works.
But the Bucs got the easiest schedule, right?
And right. I was going to say, and if you go look conversely, the Bucs, and it's also because the Bucs are on who they're playing too in terms of outside of. But like, yeah, if you go flip the script here, the bottom four teams or five teams, you get the Dolphins at the 471 winning percentage mark against versus, and the Buccaneers at 465, the Falcons at 454, the Cowboys 452, and the Eagles at 430. So what's fascinating to me is you got the Cowboys and Eagles here lower, but again, that number is skewed because of how bad the East was last year, because nobody had a 500 record. So this is right off the bat why I wanted to just shake people and say, like, you can't look at this and go, oh, look, it's such a good schedule for the Cowboys and Eagles. Look at us. No, it's because everybody was so bad last year. That's why
I'm trying to figure out what region of the country he was trying to impersonate there.
Stupid. It's the same guy saying, hey, you want the, I want a Kyle Pitts for Christian McCaffrey. I want to get that done. I want to get that word. I think it's some mutually beneficial relationship for us to do that. But seriously, I don't understand this. Yeah. So this is my struggle here. Guys, when you look at the strength of schedule, again, is there anything actually to glean from this? Because I think the Bucs is actually something you can take away, which is kind of frightening when you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, outside of the Bucs and the NFC, I don't really know if there's another contender that you could say, especially if Rodgers is not on the Packers. Like, Seattle, is that who we want to go with? I mean, I don't know if I have faith in that.
Well, it's not the Saints anymore.
No, it's not.
So you got to take them out of the equation. If Rodgers is gone for the Packers, you got to take them out. And it shows because in Vegas right now, after the schedule came out, the Bucs had 23% of the wagers that came in were for the Bucs to win the Super Bowl. And you know what number two is? The Broncos at 7% of the wagers.
Because they're betting on the odds being traded.
They're trying to take the odds now to before get Rodgers gets
No, it's a smart bet too, because Denver has a complete team. But I'd just put my money on the Chiefs still. They're not going to.
They were fourth. It was the Colts third and the Chiefs fourth. They're all seven. The Colts third. I'll say it again. I love that reaction. Colts. But yeah, 7.27 for the Colts, 7% for the Chiefs. So those were the top four, with Buffalo carrying out the five with a big drop off, 4.8% of the bets that came in were for the Bills. Yeah, very interesting, I think. So look, that's strength of schedule for you. Real quick, let's have some fun also. This is going to be a year where you can't be 500 anymore.
Yep.
Which I think is also a fascinating little wrinkle in this schedule going forward in the NFL, and the pride level of teams and the separator of you're either a 500 team or you're a below 500 team. This was made for Jeff Fisher for this kind of a season.
He would tie. He would 100% tie a game and finish 8-8-1. 100%.
Just to screw everybody. Yeah. But we talked about Tom Brady maybe breaking that record in New England. A couple other fun things. Week 5, you get Bills at Chiefs. That should be a hot game. That'd Week so 7, you got Lions at Rams for your little narrative there with the Jared Goff and Matthew
Jared Goff
Stafford
thing.
He's going, boy, oh boy, I'll tell you what, man, I don't know what the line is going to be for that one, but I can't wait to see potentially. And then, of course, Jags, Jets at the beginning of the season too, at the end of the season, rather, because you're getting Jags, Jets, which is kind of fun. I want to talk about this too. Washington finishes its schedule basically in like a round-robin tournament playing all of its in-division opponents. Yeah. What do you guys think about this? Is this a good thing for Washington or a bad thing?
I think it could be a bad thing in terms, because those games typically, like, they teams prepare more for them, and it's like more goes into it. And if you, it's rare that you see 2-0 in division. Usually you're splitting the games. Like, even the Bears Packers, even when the Bears are not very good, usually they'll split the series. So it's definitely going to be tough. And that's like around the time when your team's worn down. They have their bye week in week 9. I mean, it's a middle season bye. I think about that. I think about teams having their bye. Is there strength to bye weeks now and when they come? I thought when they expanded the regular season a week, I thought they should have given every team 2 bye weeks. I did. Agree. I thought it would have made things a lot better.
Oh. I think they will in time. I think they will. I think they're going to get that feedback.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, I believe they should. It would have made more sense. You know, extend the season another week if you want to, just to give each team a bye. I don't really care how you do it. But either way, I don't think it helps them. I really don't. I just think that that's too much on your plate at the end of the season when you're grinding. And then if you get through that, it's like all of a sudden the playoffs are here and you're playing the best teams in the NFL. So it's tough. I mean, unfortunately, and I really hope that we see Ryan Fitzpatrick in a playoff game. Did you know Ryan Fitzpatrick has never played in a playoff game? Yep. Which is
that's crazy.
It is crazy. And
you didn't know that, Yates?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He's played on every team in the NFL, but never in a playoff game. That is the most staggering stat ever. Yeah. And I want him to. I think Washington.
I love Ryan Fitzpatrick so much.
I do too, and I'm wishing him the best. I got another question for you, Yates. What do you think about the benchmarks now for fantasy when we have a 17 game season instead of 16? Things like the 1,000 yard wide receiver, things like the 1,000 yard rusher, Does this change your point of view? And, you know, what do you do when you talk about now the records on a guy throws 53 touchdowns in a season? Well,
right.
You know, where do you put the asterisks? Because this is the regular season going forward. They're not going to go backwards. They're never shaving games off the NFL schedule again. That's never happening. So right. You almost have to put the asterisks on the old stuff. What do you think about the benchmarks? 4,000 yards passing, 1,000 yards rushing, 1,000 yards receiving. Is that gone by the wayside now?
I think it has, but it's also going to be really interesting to see how these players hold up for an extra game. We True. Talk about it all, like, it is rare for a running back to play all 16 games. Now, 17 games, like, that's a tough ask. So do we see teams move towards more of a committee approach? Do we start to see some players like have a built-in bye week? Mm-hmm. Like on their, like, they just wear down and they're saying week 11, I have to rest, you know, like, what does that look like? So I just don't know. It's going to be one of these things where we just have to get through the season. We have to get through the season and see what the numbers shake out as to be able to determine, did it rise dramatically? Did these records break in year one of this new schedule? Or did we start to see some players not finish the entire season, not finish all 17 games because it is just so much more demanding on their body? So as of right now, man, it's really hard to be able to say that with any kind of confidence. I think that it's going to be one of those things where we have to get through the season and then we figure it out from there.
This has been so much fun because it feels like the season started. It really has. Like, this conversation feels like we're in football, which I know it's only May.
Little part of Tags just died.
I know. Little part of Tags just died inside. Yeah. But that's, you know, we'll try to air med you out, which, by the way, I want to thank our sponsors of the show, Air Medcare. I want to thank them for being a sponsor of the show. Go to airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros. Use that coupon code fantasypros. Again, they have plans starting at $85 a year for an entire family. And don't forget about Blue Chew. Go to bluechew.com. Try it for free when you use our promo code fantasypros at checkout and pay just $5 for shipping. That's bluechew.com. And of course, don't forget about that jersey, Calvin Ridley autographed jersey. Thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction. Head over to fantasypros.com/contest to get all the details on how to get involved with that. This has been great fun. I'm excited for the football season. I know it's still months away, but it, again, when you get the schedule, you can really start working those projections, getting those rankings, understand these hot starts. My goodness, we just gave you trade targets. You better be writing all this stuff down and make sure you're ready to go, because we're going to be here on Fantasy Pros. So subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and of course to our YouTube channel as well at Fantasy Pros on YouTube. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Yates and Tags, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.